the one called Pidge dangling a bow for the new kitten. They said they weren't going to hurt them. They said this was only a robbery. Jablonski memorized their faces well enough to describe to a police sketch artist, which he would be doing as soon as they got the hell out of his home. Both boys looked as though they'd stepped from the pages of a Ralph Lauren ad. Hawk, clean-cut, well-spoken, blonde, with side-parted hair. Pidge, bigger, probably 6'2", long brown hair, strong as a horse, meaty hands, Ivy League types, both of them. Maybe there really was some goodness in them. As Jablonski watched, the blonde one, Hawk, walked over to the bookshelf, dragged his long fingers across the spines of the books, calling out titles, his voice warm, as though he were a friend of the family. He said to Henry Jablonski,
"Wow, Mr. J, you've got Fahrenheit 451. This is a classic."
Hawk pulled the book from the shelf, opened it to the first page. Then he stooped down to where Jablonski was hog-tied on the floor with a sock in his mouth.
"You can't beat Bradbury for an opening," Hawk said,
and then he read aloud with a clear, dramatic voice. "It was a pleasure to burn. It was a special pleasure to see things eaten, to see things blackened and changed." As Hawk read, Pidge hauled a large package out from under the tree. It was wrapped in gold foil, tied with gold ribbon, something Peggy had always wanted and had waited for years. "To Peggy from Santa," Pidge read from the gift tag. He sliced through the wrappings with a knife.
He had a knife.
Pidge opened the box, peeled back the layers of tissue.
"A Birkin bag, Peggy. Santa brought you a $9,000 purse. I'd call that a no, Peg, a definite no."
Pidge reached for another wrapped gift, shook the box, while Hawk turned his attention to Peggy Jablonski. Peggy pleaded with Hawk, her actual words muffled by the wad of sock in her mouth. It broke Henry's heavy heart to see how hard she tried to communicate with her eyes. Hawk reached out and stroked Peggy's baby blonde hair, then patted her damp cheek.
"We're going to open all your presents now, Mrs. J. Yours too, Mr. J," he said. "Then we'll decide if we're going to let you live."
Henry Jablonski's stomach heaved. He gagged against the thick wool of the sock, pulled against his restraints, smelled the sour odor of urine. Heat puddled under his clothes. Christ, he'd wet himself. But it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was to get out alive. He couldn't move. He couldn't speak. But he could reason. What could he do? Jablonski looked around from his place on the floor, took in the fire poker only yards away. He fixed his vision on that poker.
"Mrs. J," Pidge called out to Peggy, shaking a small turquoise box. "This is from Henry. A Peretti necklace. Very nice. What? You have something to say?"
Pidge went over to Peggy Jablonski and took the sock out of her mouth.
"You don't really know Dougie, do you?" she said.
"Dougie who?" Pidge laughed.
"Don't hurt us."
"No, no, Mrs. J," Pidge said, stuffing the sock back into his captive's mouth. "No don'ts. This is our game, our rules."
The kitten pounced into the heap of wrapping paper as the gifts were opened, the diamond earrings, the Hermes tie, and the Jensen salad tongs, Jablonski praying that they would just take the stuff and leave. Then he heard Pidge speak to Hawk, his voice more subdued than before, so that Jablonski had to strain to hear over the blood pounding in his ears.
"Well, guilty or not guilty?" Pidge asked.
Hawk's voice was thoughtful.
"The Jays are living well, and if that's the best revenge..." "You're kidding me, dude. That's totally bogus."
Pidge stepped over the pillowcase filled with the contents of the Jablonski's safe. He spread the